So how's England doing these days, Pete?
Just grey and wet and cold.
Sounds like Pittsburgh.
Just like my soul.
Ooh, it would have been funnier if AJ didn't try to interject with his lame joke.
Yeah. Well, I thought he was done.
Nope, you're lame. Podcast for January 20th, 2011. This is Mike Minotti, and I'm joined by my brother, Ajguy.
Hello.
And our good friend from over the pond, Pete Davidson.
Hello.
It's not really a pond. It's more of an ocean. Actually, I think it is an ocean.
It's a colloquialism, I think, is the word.
Yeah, ponds are quite small. Oceans are quite big. You see, it's sort of an ironic contrast between the two.
Ah, it's funny. Well, everyone, welcome to our show. We're going to start with the news today. How's the news looking?
Extensive.
There was a big 3DS event, so we got all sorts of stuff to talk about there. Mm-hmm. Then we got an either-or. Won't that be fun? We're going to pit AJ against Pete. They got to pick between two things. There'll be a winner. There's a lightning round. It's very high energy.
I'm excited.
AJ's been winning this a lot lately. You have to dethrone him.
I'll do my best.
There is pressure on you now.
I can't handle it.
No, stop that. So then after that, we'll do our week in gaming, we'll get to the releases, and that'll be the show. So why don't you get going on the news?
3DS! We have numbers and stuff. It is coming out in the U.S. on March 27th for $250.
Hard to believe. Just 2 months, about.
I know. It's crazy. That's about the price I was expecting. You know, not too high, not too low.
$300, so I guess it's kind of nice in a way.
It's the most expensive handheld Nintendo's ever released, but it's on price parity with what the PSPs have come out at, so I could deal.
Is that price actually confirmed now? Because I know there was a lot of umming and ahhing about whether or not it was the actual official price or not.
That's what Reggie said on stage, so I'm assuming so.
Yeah, fair enough. I know that there's been some disagreement over it in Europe in particular.
Yeah, I know it sounds like it wasn't quite nailed down for Europe, but what they were talking about was pretty high.
Yeah,
as it usually is.
Yeah, about 229 is one that I heard. That was the first one that went up from HMV, which is one of our big sort of music and games chains.
229 euro?
No, pounds, which is...
Holy shit!
Yeah, which is a lot of dollars.
Yeah. That's like almost $500, isn't it?
Getting on that way, certainly. It's,
yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of money. But we're used to being pretty much screwed in the ass with everything
to
do with
technology. That's what you get for using your fake, colorful Monopoly money.
That's right. That's exactly what we get for using our fake, colorful, with a U, Monopoly money.
Totally.
Oh, that's great. Let's see. And to your point, too, Pete, they have pretty much said that the 3DS will be region-locked as well. So
there aren't that many games anymore that kind of don't come over from Japan. That was always kind of the problem before. Also, there'll be hacks, I assume.
It seemed like it was a bigger deal for, like, you know, people in Europe and Australia to import American games that
either didn't
get released or got released, like, 7 months later for no real reason. So that's a bummer.
Yeah, especially for you, Pete.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. You should just buy an American one right off the bat and just import all your games.
Yeah, in fact, I think a lot of people are planning on doing that, to be honest, from the sound of
well.
Things. Probably cheaper, even with import taxes and so on.
Yeah. All right, so we got a rundown of all the different features that are going to be in the system. Some of them, you know, we already knew about from E3. They're just a little more defined now. There's the Street Pass system, which is where you have your DS, or your 3DS, in sleep mode, and as you pass by other users who are also in the Street Pass, you'll swap game data, even for games that you're not necessarily playing, and you could, you know, get, like, Ghost Fighter data for Street Fighter 4 as the example. The Spot Pass is what allows you to automatically connect open Wi-Fi spots and automatically download new content.
Did you guys just hear that?
What?
In my background?
No.
The big thumping noise?
No.
Like something was coming to get me? No?
No.
Continue then.
Okay.
Everyone,
if you go very quiet, then we'll start worrying.
So yeah, I don't say anything for a while. Call for help.
Okay. Anyway.
I think it was the washing machine.
Probably. Let's see, where was I? Yes, the friend code system has been outlaid. It's still a friend code system, but not nearly as bad as the Wii's. You'll just get one friend code per system that is persistent across all games. So you just need to add a friend once and they're there.
Yeah.
And if you play like ad hoc Wi-Fi, like we're actually sitting with them, you'll get prompted if you just like automatically add them as a friend without even having to mess with codes.
Yeah.
So that's good.
This is all very happy. That. Yes. So.
Let's see. We found out that the camera is actually going to be capable of some facial recognition. The example that they outlined was in Nintendo Dogs and Cats. If you give the game to a stranger, like your pet won't recognize the stranger and they'll react differently. That's kind of neat.
Yes.
Jump out of the screen and savage them.
Let's see. Built-in activity log software. It basically lets the system act as a pedometer. Walking around enough, you'll earn play coins that you can use to unlock content in certain games. The Mii Maker software that we've seen, where you can take a picture of yourself and it'll turn it into a Mii, will be able to import Miis from the Wii, but you cannot send a Mii back to the Wii because there's new hair options and things that just aren't compatible.
Fair enough.
Why not just update the Wii?
Well, if you were like a forward-thinking company that made the software updatable because it's connected to the internet, that might have been possible.
You see, the sad thing is, I didn't even think of that because it was Nintendo.
Exactly.
I didn't even think of the option of updating the Wii. Does it have that Wii Connect 24/7 thing, though?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Like, anytime I turn my Wii on after it's been sitting dormant for months at a time, it's always got the blue flashing slot saying there's updates for it. So, yeah, they do them, so there's no reason they can't do that. So, it's wrong, I tell you. Wrong.
They're dummies.
Yeah.
They're stupid.
Okay.
Anyway,
moving on. The 3DS is also going to include a couple of augmented reality games using these AR cards. So it's like that thing, you know, you put the card on the table, it tracks the card and overlays your game on it, but now it's in 3D, so they can play with that. Like one example is this game, you put the card down, you move around using the gyroscope in the system to shoot at targets that are coming up. But what's also cool is, like, in one instance, the card looked like it pushed down into the table, and then you actually had to angle yourself so you could shoot into the hole it created to get things, even though, you know, it's still a regular flat surface. In real life, the 3D of the camera allows it to trick around like that. Let's see. System comes with the charging cradle. They're including a 2GB SD card, which is nice. They've also said, and it won't be available for launch, most likely, but you are going to be able to transfer your DSiWare from your DSi and DSi XL to your 3DS. Now, that won't be available at launch. We also found out that the eShop will not actually be with launch as well.
That's weird.
And I know, Mike, we were talking about it the other day because I was trying to find more people talking about this, and I did see it come up, but people aren't making as big of a deal about it as I would expect.
Right. Everyone seems far more concerned about the price.
Yeah, but basically what they're saying is, the eShop, which is kind of different from the DSiWare store, this is what's going to have demos for 3DS games, video trailers, and also the virtual console for Game Boy and Game Boy Color. It's not going to be ready by March 27th, which seems really, really weird.
I want to play Mario Land and Zelda DX.
Well, you're going to have to wait.
Dang it.
I know.
I want to give them my money, though.
And I don't get this, too. Like, people are saying, well, what about Game Boy Advance games on this virtual console of yours? And they're like, well, you know, it's an option. We might think about it. It's like, what's there to think about?
It's kind of weird because Nintendo almost seemed to be wanting to forget the existence of the Game Boy Advance, what with sort of removing the slot from various things and that sort of thing. So, and it not being a virtual console, that's a little bit odd.
I think it'll come. I think if you put Game Boy Advance games on there from start, those Game Boy Color and Game Boy games look kind of mediocre and old.
I guess.
Like, a lot of them don't have the charm that, like, you know, like, with the Virtual Console and the Wii, and you had NES games, it was kind of that retro thing. A lot of Game Boy games are just kind of bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of
On a side note, can I just say, I found my Game Boy Color the other day. I haven't switched it on for 10 years, and the batteries are still going.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very nice. What was in it?
Tetris DX.
Oh, great game.
So it's Tetris.
I know, it's just a good version. Here's a question, too. I don't know if anyone's asked this, but I wonder if the virtual console stuff on the 3DS can use the wireless link to emulate System Link. Because that'd be really cool.
Can what now?
Like, you know, like the original Tetris on Game Boy. You could link up Game Boy.
Right.
It'd be cool if you could emulate that through... I know, I probably... That's asking far too much.
Yes, I imagine no.
Yeah. So let's see, what else about the 3DS? They've given a launch window of games. Nothing. They haven't said which games are launch day. It's all the stuff we've known about for the most part. You know, Street Fighter, Zelda, Kid Icarus.
We know Street Fighter is launch.
Yeah, we do know that one. We also, what we found out, they still haven't said pricing on games, but Capcom on their online store has Street Fighter 4 3D listed at $39.99. And that's like a pretty high-end game, too. So I imagine that it'll kind of do like the DS, where pretty much everything on DS is $30 except Nintendo stuff that is $35 or $40. And a few exceptions. It'll probably be most things are 40, with like the big games being 50.
What are your thoughts on the argument that's a really stupid thing to do in the age of apps, though?
Well, yeah, I was talking a little bit about this with Rock God, aka Chris Whittington, on Facebook. But I mean, I think there's still a place for like a $40 or $50 game on a Nintendo handheld. I mean, you know, things like Zelda and Kid Icarus, sure. What Nintendo needs to do, I think, is really embrace the downloadable stuff and make these like $5 experiences that are like, you know, worthwhile, and promote them. Because there's stuff happening on DSiWare every so often that is worthwhile, things like Cave Story, but you wouldn't know about it from Nintendo. The only way I ever know it's coming out is by going to like Kotaku.
Yeah.
The storefront itself is terribly unintuitive.
Yeah, the only hesitation I'd have with that is now sort of iOS games are getting to sort of decent, good quality, full games rather than just being mobile things. Like if you've played anything like Aralon or Infinity Blade or anything on iPhone, then those are proper games, and they're like $5 or whatever your American space money is. But they are a tenth of the price of like a new console game. And
well, it's still that disparity of, would you rather get Puzzle Quest 2 on the DS for $30 or get it on your iPhone for $10? You know, it's the same exact game. That's where they're going
to
run into trouble.
I'll still be surprised if it actually goes up to 50. I don't see why Street Fighter 4 wouldn't be one of the higher priced ones, anyways. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's always been that weird kind of disconnect. That's been there for a while now, and Nintendo has seemed to have gotten along fine for the most part.
That's true.
We'll see if they get burned. I don't know. But I mean, people will still be willing to pay these prices. Like there's even with the quality increasing on iPhone games, there is still this big kind of, you know, this misperception that, oh well, it's an iPhone game, of course it's cheap, even if it is something of the quality of Infinity Blade. Like, would people pay $40 for Infinity Blade? What if there was like a box at a Best Buy that said Infinity Blade, and inside was a code, and you put that in, and you had Infinity Blade on your phone? That would never work, but Nintendo can get away with stuff like that. It's weird.
I saw an interesting quote earlier on. This is a slight tangent, but an interesting quote, which was the 3DS is a last-gen system with a screen of the future, just like the Wii was a last-gen system with a controller of the future. So I thought that was quite an interesting quote to look at it.
Well, I mean, the 3DS, I don't know. I mean, the 3DS is graphically on par with, like, a GameCube, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of like the Wii. So I guess you could say that puts it on task with the PSP, almost, maybe slightly more powerful.
But yeah, that's, I mean, you see a lot of people, too, almost drawing analogies to the 3DS to the PSP's launch. You know, slightly more expensive hardware that pushed, like, you know, a kind of graphical gimmick, but didn't really match the current trends in mobile gaming. I don't know if I buy that as much, but I mean, it's an interesting consideration, I guess.
It's actually been something that's kind of plagued gaming for quite a long time. Like, the least powerful systems tend to be the ones that do the best. It's like, you look at like PS2 era, even, if you're looking at consoles and so on. PS2 was the least powerful out of all of them, and ended up doing the best. It's been quite a strange trend that always seems to have gone that way.
I do want to say, though, having played the 3DS, I can't imagine needing much more graphical strength out of a portable system. Like, did you see the Resident Evil game running on there? That is a really good looking game.
I mean, I'm amazed actually how good Ocarina of Time looks on it. Yeah. I mean, it's nice to see that it's not just like an up-res port. They actually are remaking it.
Well, the cool thing about handhelds is that even sort of low-res shitty graphics look much better on a smaller screen, which is good. So even stuff like Ocarina of Time is going to look better than it would blown up on an HD TV where it's all blurry and shitty.
Kind of games that are going to be on there, like Paper Mario. Does Paper Mario really need, you know, PS3 tech?
Really not.
No.
No. Okay. What's next, Ash Guy?
Well, let's take another nostalgia trip with the Sega announcement of the Dreamcast collection.
Boo.
You guys see this?
Lame.
What a joke.
Disappointing.
So, four games.
Par for the course. Sega, you get, suck it down.
You get Sonic Adventure.
What the hell
crazy.
Are you doing? Come on, Sega. Try harder. What the hell?
Okay. Yeah, Sonic Adventure and Crazy Taxi, which are already available on XBLA.
And are shitty ports, I might add.
Shitty ports, yeah. You get Sega Bass Fishing, because everyone loves that game.
It was quite a good game, actually.
But not without the fishing controller.
Well, true.
And then the one good game is Space Channel 5 Part 2. I mean, I'd rather they just put the two Space Channel 5 games together.
Yes, Space Channel 5 Part 2 on the PS2. I would pay good money for that.
They re-released it on the PS2, didn't they? Or am I making that up?
No, you're right. Oh. It did come to the PS2, right?
You probably get that real
didn't
cheap.
Didn't you play it?
Yeah. Space Channel 5 came out on PS2 after Dreamcast, and then Space Channel 5 Part 2 was just PS2, I think, wasn't it? I think. I may have got that wrong. Yeah. I know I paid £80 for a copy of Space Channel 5 Part 2 because it got banned in this country.
Wait, why'd it get banned?
Because of Michael Jackson.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
It was around questions concerning him, so, but never mind.
Yes.
But that's pretty disappointing.
Yeah.
You put Jet Set, so much Jet Set Radio on there.
Get Choo Choo Rocket with multiplayer.
Where's that at, by the way? What the hell?
It's on the iPad.
Yeah,
pretty good on the iPad, too.
If there was ever a game, there should be a live arcade game or something.
Oh, I know, right? Like, how much of a no-brainer is that?
But yeah. No.
I would pay good money for a Jet Set Radio HD collection, though. Like, with Jet Set Radio and Jet Set Radio Future in there, that would be
totally.
Awesome.
Oh, totally. I'd love to meet my Jet Set Radio.
Yes. You used to walk around just randomly shouting, Jet Set Radio Future!
I did.
You used to do that all the time, and it was really annoying.
I said, I did. I thought it was fun. Which wasn't... That little jingle was never in any of the trailers or promotional things for the game. I would just go around, Jet Set Radio Future!
So annoying. Nice. I'm almost sad I brought it up.
I made some awesome tags in the original Jet Grind Radio, by the way.
Oh, yes.
I made some incredibly offensive tags.
Of course.
Mine were, like, really dumb when I think back. But I think I had, like, one that said freeze, and there's, like, snow behind it. I was like, yeah, I'm gangster.
Yeah, mine were just mostly pictures of penises and swear words.
You know, that's nice, too.
Yeah.
All right. So, Harmonix is dropping Rock Band Network support for the Wii, because, as they said, basically no one was using it on the Wii. That make anyone sad?
No.
Okay.
Is anyone playing Rock Band on the Wii, even?
Oh, yeah. People do. They don't really download much, though.
No.
I mean, it's on the Wii. Let's see. Did you guys see that cool Mortal Kombat spec trailer that came out a few months ago?
The one with 7 of 9 in it?
Yeah.
Yes.
They actually greenlit that to become a web series. Warner Brothers commissioned it.
That's interesting. Why not a real series?
Because Mortal Kombat probably doesn't have enough appeal to be on actual TV. Not now.
Maybe. Why don't they wait and see how that game does?
Yeah.
Then maybe people will care again. Anywho, that's neat.
Then we got, Gran Turismo Anywhere is launching February. This is the thing that lets you play the B-Spec mode from a computer.
What's B-Spec?
This is the mode where you basically don't play. Yeah, you it's like coaching in a football game. You're like the pit crew boss.
Oh.
And you tell them, like, when to do stuff.
I bet that's probably most of the game for the car nerds anyways.
Mm-hmm. Skyrim. Let's talk Skyrim.
Novakin.
Saw that coming. Anywho.
Novakin.
All right, you're done. Let's see. We got a screenshot. It looks pretty. They also talk a little bit about the tech. Shut up.
All right, I'm done.
Foliage graphics, radiant.
Wait. I want to hear about Skyrim. Can you start over?
Yes. We got a screenshot. It's pretty, I said. I don't know if you heard that.
No.
They are doing things like they're overhauling the foliage system to make, even better-looking outdoor environments, increasing the draw distances.
Yes. Oh, the draw distance sucks in Oblivion.
I know. Let's see. They also talk about the Radiant Quest system, which is the thing we kind of talked about where, basically it'll on the fly create quests based on what's going on. It's an offshoot of the Radiant AI. And also they talk to how now when you talk to a character, it doesn't zoom in on their face and portrait while the rest of the world freezes.
Oh,
like the conversations happen as a natural part of the world, which is awesome.
Good.
Nice.
So, yeah. It's going to be a great game.
Did you read, I think it was on Bitmob, there was quite an interesting article about the Radiant AI and what they had to strip out of it?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Basically, the AI was so unpredictable that it could break the game because, like, you know, important NPCs would get killed or something by other NPCs, and they needed to have some level of control for the game to function. It would have been cool if they would have just released it as, like, an optional mode, say, like, you know, have a disclaimer, like, I understand this could break the game, but I want to try it or something, you know?
Yes. Moving along. The PS3 is the hacksaw, and now Modern Warfare 2 is pretty much unplayable. Basically, what Infinity Ward came out and said was that Modern Warfare 2 relied on a lot of the encryption in the system itself, and since the PS3 has been hacked, there's like aimbots and god mode and all this stuff, and there's really nothing they can do about it. So I hope you weren't playing Modern Warfare 2 in the PS3.
Might be fun with god mode, though.
Yeah.
They should just get that out to everybody and make it a play,
yeah,
fair play.
Even it out.
Be a really weird game.
So is that issue not affected Black Ops then?
No, because Black Ops did use software-based encryption instead of a hardware-based. Like they saw this coming or something.
That's
I don't
smart.
Know.
I guess Treyarch won that one, huh?
Yeah.
Take that, Infinity Ward.
Did you see too what Microsoft did for this guy who is like the principal hacker? He's the guy who hacked the PS3 is also the guy who did the first iPhone jailbreak, and Microsoft's Windows Phone division actually contacted him and said, you know what? If you want, we'll send you a Windows Phone. Show us what you can do with it. Kind of embracing it rather than fearing it.
No,
I think
kind of
is,
trying
is
to make a PR stunt of it. Like, oh, yeah, we think
right.
It's cool. If this had actually happened to them in reverse, they'd be acting the same exact way as Sony. Where they're trying
probably.
To come off as the good guy while Sony is looking like the bad guy in the face of the community.
Yeah. Right now, the legal case, too, is held up in like a jurisdiction question or something like that. I'm not sure who should be handling the case.
Interesting.
It's interesting, yes.
Kind of interesting.
Okay, now,
yes.
This next news may be one of the more exciting things I've heard in a while, and will be probably the first time I've been this excited to buy a cross-platform game on the PS3 first.
Wait, I'm trying to think if I could possibly know what this is. What are you talking about? Go ahead.
Portal 2.
Oh.
Yes.
Do you know about this?
Mm.
So, we all knew how Steam was coming to the PS3, and basically everything I was wondering about and hoping would be true is true. They've said, like, you know, Steam is going to have cross-platform chat, cross-platform multiplayer between the PS3, PC, and Mac. It'll also support cloud-based saving between all three platforms. So if you went from PS3 to Mac, your save file would transfer. And if you buy the PS3 version of the game and you link your Steam account to your PSN account, Steam Play kicks in and you get the game on your PC and Mac as well. So you basically buy it on the PS3 and get it on all three platforms.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, I am so there.
You know what I would really like to see them do now with this new Steam on the PS3 is release like a really proper version of Team Fortress 2 for the PS3.
I mean, like I said, if this is the case going forward now that any Valve game you buy on the PS3 you get on the PC, and imagine, I mean, they're making still Steamworks open to everybody. Just imagine if more games did that. You buy it on the PS3, it has Steam support, and you get it on your PC and Mac for free with it. And now you're just buying one game for all your devices. Oh,
it's interesting how...
You know what? That's the one way Sony could win in my mind right now.
It's an interesting way to finally combat this kind of... You know, because Sony has never really been looked at favorably in the whole online gaming competition between it and 360. This is kind of... It finally gives them a leg up on something, you know?
Well, it was smart. Just let someone else do it who's already good at it.
Right.
Clearly,
just put Steam on there. Make that your online service.
Yeah, honestly. And it seems like it might be going that way. And that's the case, I say awesome.
Yeah.
I will start buying PS3 games. Like, consistently.
Team Fortress 2, gotta do it. Make, like, Counter-Strike a downloadable game on the PS3 that's cross-platform with the PC. How awesome would that be?
Pretty sweet. Hell, you can even use a keyboard and mouse on a PS3.
Yeah.
I think Counter-Strike is still the most played game on Steam, actually, multiplayer-wise.
Really?
Isn't that weird?
I haven't played that in so long.
Counter-Strike 2, they gotta be thinking about that, right?
Maybe. The old one's still working.
I mean, that's game's older than 10 years now. That's hard to believe.
Wow, it is.
Weird.
Yes. Okay, let's see. We got a whole bunch of Final Fantasy news.
Yay, Final Fantasy Square Enix event.
This may be the quickest turnaround from rumor to announcement I've ever seen. Basically, people were like finding out that the domain FinalFantasy13-2game.com was registered by the parent company of Square Enix that registers all these domains, and people were like, oh, what could this mean? Are they just sitting on a domain or something? And then like 3 days later, it's like, yep, Final Fantasy 13-2 is coming. Here's a logo. The trailer leaked, and it's coming next winter.
Man, is that weird or what? We had to wait like 5 years for 13. Here's the sequel. You know, here's why it's smart, though, because they already have the tools now, right?
Right.
And everyone, you know, they can address the complaints about the last one pretty easily. Like, everyone pretty much liked the battle system, right?
Right.
The battle system was great. So now they're probably just going to make a game with that battle system, that world, with all the tech they already made, just make it more open world, whatever, and they'll probably have a much bigger critical hit on their hands. Plus, they'll make money back from all the time and development they spent on the crystal tools.
Right.
So, good for them, I guess. Interesting.
Yeah. Yes.
I think it's a good thing. Let's see. I think it's just a bit of a shame that people are assuming it's going to be shit just because they hated 13.
Yeah, you know, people can do what they want.
Yeah.
People are dumb. People also didn't like Final Fantasy 12, which was a masterpiece, so they can all fuck themselves.
Strong words.
Yeah.
I like Final Fantasy 12 a lot. And I'll take
I'm playing it at the moment, actually.
Oh, yeah, what do you think? I guess we'll get to that later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later, but I like it.
Good, I was about to say, well, this would be really awkward if you didn't like it.
All right, anyway, where was I? Oh, yes, Final Fantasy Agito 13, which is the PSP game that they talked about 7 years ago, got a name change.
It was originally a mobile game, but I think mobile gaming changed so much it couldn't be one anymore.
Yeah, they've changed the name now to Final Fantasy Type-0, so 13's gone from it. I still don't even know what this game is.
Is it still a part of the Fabula Nova Chrysalis?
I guess. It's coming out this summer.
AJ,
in
here's
Japan.
What I think it is. I think they basically made like a game like Crisis Core, but not set in Final Fantasy VII world.
Okay.
That's what
Whatever.
I understand.
I like Crisis Core.
Crisis Core is actually pretty good.
Yeah. It's actually going to be on two UMDs, because that's what everybody wants.
Two UMDs. Oh, that's funny.
Oh, yes. Then, let's see, there was a gameplay trailer for Versus 13. I actually didn't see it, did you?
No. Versus 13, man, that's like... that actually going to come out sometime? Whoa.
It may not come out before 13, too. It
may not come out before Final Fantasy 15, whatever the hell that'll be.
And from what I understand of the trailer, like I thought the whole point was that it took place in the same world, but everyone said the trailer looks like it's taking place in modern-day Tokyo.
It doesn't really take place in the same world. I have no idea. All I know is that the girl doing the music for it, who did the music for Kingdom Hearts, released one track from it that was on the trailer, and it's an amazing song.
Yeah, that was like 4 years
yes.
ago.
Well, here's my problem with Versus 13. Here's why I have animosity towards it, because it's basically the Kingdom Hearts team. And yeah. basically the reason why we've only been getting kind of, you know, these diversion portable Kingdom Hearts games is because the main Kingdom Hearts team has been working on this forever.
Yeah.
So basically, the way I see it, once this game is done, we can actually get Kingdom Hearts 3. Maybe.
You think.
Yeah. Did you see the Kingdom Hearts 3DS stuff?
Oh, yeah, I'm getting to it.
Okay.
I got a Kingdom Hearts section coming up here.
Oh, my God, a section?
Yes.
You just made him a very happy man.
Yes. Okay, let's see. The last Final Fantasy bit is Dissidia Oak 2 Duodecim Final Fantasy. Mm-hmm. That's coming out March 22nd. So...
you know what that is a stupid name, even for Square standards.
Yes, oh, even by Square's ridiculous standards. Even for the studio that brought us Kingdom Hearts 358 divided by 2 days, that's a pretty bad name.
Well, you know what else is a pretty stupid
name?
Wait.
What are the two characters they announced for it at the event? Somebody was a Final Fantasy XI character, which was dumb. They have to announce...
There were characters?
Wait, what?
There were characters in Final Fantasy XI?
Yeah, XI had quite a good plot, actually, but it just took you 15 years to get through it.
Right. Also, you had to play Final Fantasy XI. I have to put Locke in there for Final Fantasy VI, who else do I want? I want Balthier from Final Fantasy XII, because he's a badass. I want Vivi from Final Fantasy IX. I got a wish list. We'll see, hopefully. But you know what's cool is that I remember we had to wait like a year between the releases last time. I think the U.S. version's just coming out a couple weeks after Japanese.
Yeah, it's short.
Dissidia was a really good game, actually, so I'm kind of excited.
Yeah.
I still haven't played it, but the last boss theme still makes me laugh.
I like that last boss theme. You guys can go to hell. It's epic. Right. It's epic, I tell you, when you play it.
If you say so.
It is.
So anyway, continuing in the tradition of stupid Square Enix names, Kingdom Hearts 3D, because, you know, 3DS got changed into Dream Drop Distance.
What?
Kingdom Hearts
3D. It's 3Ds, because it's in 3D.
Dream Drop Distance.
Oh, I see what they did there. Clever.
Did you see the trailer, though?
No, actually, I didn't.
Here's what I want to tell you, AJ, that's going to make you want to buy this game.
Oh, I think I know what you're going to tell me, but go ahead.
Basically, the whole trailer took place in Traverse Town, which was in the first Kingdom Hearts, except for one section where Sora is running through a bell tower and then jumping into what looks like a festival. Clearly, Hunchback of Notre Dame level.
Woo!
Which is awesome.
I love that movie.
Yes. Also, the combat looked really good. I mean, it looked like, you know, it looked like Kingdom Hearts 2 quality, which was, I don't know, I'm pretty excited. I still really want Kingdom Hearts 3, but I feel like this will be pretty awesome.
That's good.
Also, well, again, like, the plot looks like some ridiculous, like, this is the fifth, this must be, like, the fifth Kingdom Hearts game now, where it's like, oh, we're gonna, like, go back and, like, revisit memories or something. Basically make you replay through parts of Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2 again, because that's cheap.
Well, would you like another Birth by Sleep, Mike?
No.
Well, you're getting one.
No, we won't get it. Japan's
Kingdom Hearts
it.
Birth by Sleep Volume 2 has been teased in the Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep Final Mix secret ending that came out in Japan.
Wait. Oh. No. I didn't hear that. What?
Yep.
The secret ending for... No, because I saw the secret ending for Birth by Sleep 1. It teases... It teases... No, because it teases Kingdom Hearts 3, I think.
Nope.
No,
you were wrong.
No, there's... No! They gotta make Kingdom Hearts 3! Why? When did Kingdom Hearts become a portable franchise? What the hell? What do you mean Volume 2? What does that mean?
They are, in my mind, they are way oversaturating this franchise and really doing their best to kill it seems
like. Shut up! They can't! Make Kingdom Hearts 3! Why don't they want to make it?
See, this is
they
my problem.
They make money! It'll make money!
This is why 2 kind of soured me, and I know you argue.
No,
with me
2
on
is amazing. What's wrong with 2?
Just it started something I don't like.
Oh, it's so
it became less about the Disney stuff and more about all this bullshit with nobodies and Organization 13.
There is plenty of
crap
Disney
I don't care about.
Whatever. Shut up. Kingdom Hearts 2 is one of the best games ever.
I enjoyed Kingdom Hearts 2. I'm with you, Mike. But the beginning of it did confuse the fuck out of me because I hadn't played the GBA one, Chain of Memories.
GBA one, yeah, that would. You guys
I
need
had
to spend
no
more
idea
time.
What was going on for the first few hours.
You guys need to spend more time on the Kingdom Hearts wiki, like I do.
Yeah,
gotta
where
learn.
The cool
it all.
Kids hang out.
Yeah, I'm gonna look this up. I'm gonna be pissed if. Listen, okay, look, they can make a Birth by Sleep 2, whatever. If it comes out before Kingdom Hearts 3, I'm going to punch somebody in the face, and it will probably be
you,
AJ. What?
I said I got news for you.
What?
It's probably not going to come out until, or it will come out before Kingdom Hearts 3.
They have, look, Kingdom Hearts 2 came out in 2006. That was 5 years ago. That's like forever in video game years. It made a lot of money. It was like, it sold more than Final Fantasy XII. It sold more than Final Fantasy. They don't want to make a sequel. Why? What do they want to make it cost $200? I'll give you $200. Just release it. What do you want? Let me know it exists. Do like you do with Kingdom Hearts 2. Announce it 4 years before it comes out. I don't care. Just let me know. I just want next gen Kingdom Hearts. I want Pixar levels. What?
You realize
stop doing Peter Pan levels. They're in every game. I'm sick of it.
You realize you're still calling it next gen. It's been next gen for 5 years.
Shut up.
When Kingdom Hearts 2 came out, the next gen had already started.
Do you need a minute,
maybe
Mike?
You'll get Kingdom Hearts 3 after the launch of the PS4, Mike, but it'll be a PS3 game.
It probably will. It'll be like a port of some old portable game. Like, oh, now it's on consoles with updated graphics and shit and an extra boss.
No,
they'll put the Birth by Sleep collection on PS2.
Oh my god. Nothing against Birth by Sleep, great game, but god damn it. Okay, let's move on.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, whatever. They'll turn it into a Facebook game.
Oh my god.
Sorry, Mike, if I just killed your dreams.
Kingdom Heartsville. Oh, God.
Okay, I'm going to move on. Congregate.
Wait. Name of the episode, Kingdom Heartsville.
Okay.
Remember.
There. I'll remember. Let's see. Congregate put out their Congregate Arcade app for the Android market.
And then it was pulled!
It was pulled, which makes no sense because you could still download it and install it. Google hasn't said why they pulled it. GameStop, who owns Congregate, has no reason given to them, so it's a really weird situation.
I thought they had said why. I thought they'd accused it of installing software on it without permission or whatever, when in fact it wasn't. It was just a full-screen web browser.
Right. I hadn't seen that.
I can't remember where I saw that the other day, but that's great sourcing there. But yeah, that was apparently the story behind it. Which is
weird. Well, I mean, I downloaded it. I haven't gotten to try it yet. I just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah, apparently all it is just a full-screen web browser with a Flash player. So.
Right, right. Okay, so there's that. Activision has announced they have found no buyers for Bazaar, and they are recommending a closure.
Boo.
Yeah.
Well, that's too bad.
Mm-hmm.
I guess maybe people should want to buy. Let's buy Bazaar. How much can they cost?
Let's buy Bazaar and get them to make Kingdom Hearts 3. There we go. Problem solved.
Guys, your first project will be Kingdom Hearts 3. I don't think we can do that.
Oh, sure.
For one thing, I think we need permission from both Square and Disney, and that probably won't happen.
Well, let's do it now.
Then you're
going to
make Jet Set Radio 3. That's how video games work, right?
Yeah, exactly. Then, I don't know if you guys saw this, but a guy made a very exhaustive StarCraft mod called World of StarCraft, which is a straight-up MMO, all done within the tool sets released with StarCraft 2. He put up videos of what he's working on YouTube, and they were pulled, citing violation of copyright.
What does that
which
mean?
Has him saying, well, what? And as the guy says, like, Blizzard put out these tools. They said, we want you to use our assets and use our tools, and we want to see what you guys can come up with. It also runs through Battle.net. There's no fear of him selling it or anything. Like, unless they're making World of StarCraft and they don't want, like, confusion out there, they should probably say something to this, because they haven't yet.
I assume they are making World of StarCraft, probably.
Right.
I assume that StarCraft 2 is really just a big promotional tool for World of StarCraft. Kind of like how Warcraft 3 ended up being for World of Warcraft.
Yes.
Next.
Okay,
it's been a long news segment, hasn't it?
I told you, it was a big one this week. Xbox 360 got a small title update this week that they said was to bring back the option of booting directly to a disc, which I didn't even realize was gone.
I didn't know that either.
But, snuck into that update was also something that disabled a lot of Call of Duty pirates.
Take that, pirates.
Yes, yeah, so they turned on their Xboxes and found them banned. Whoops.
Oh, no.
So, Golden Boys of Infinity Ward, Vince Zampella and that other guy.
and the other guy. And the rest of them.
Look to be kind of in trouble here.
What do you mean? What's this? I don't know about
that. Oh, this just happened before we started recording. In the ongoing lawsuit about the whole them leaving and the insubordination and all that, was an email that was submitted to the court and accepted as evidence. The email was from one of the guys at DICE, who, you know, as you know, make Bad Company, Battlefield and all that. The email's text states as follows. A couple months ago, I asked Vince to hold back their map pack until after we launched. He owes me one. Given that they've already made a billion, he was cool with that, obviously. Kotick took it as being belligerent. So, that doesn't look good.
No.
Whatever the story is behind it, maybe it is innocent or something, but that does not look good.
I was right. Everyone was like, oh, these poor guys, boo-hoo-hoo, Kotick's a dick. Nope. I win.
Are you wearing the hat right now?
I got the I was right hat on right now, and I'm doing a jig. Ha, ha, ha. These guys are dicks. Of course they're dicks. They made Call of Duty the biggest home of dicks ever. Why do we ever defend these guys?
Oh, that's brilliant.
The email's dated March 2nd, the day Bad Company 2 came out, and 28 days before the stimulus map pack for Modern Warfare 2 came out in the 360.
Mm-hmm. How's about that? How do you like them apples?
Of course they're dicks. They made Call of Duty. I love that. That's amazing.
Seriously, though.
You raise a good point.
Like, who else would make Call of Duty? A nice guy?
True. Fair point.
Like, your best friend? No. It's that jerk-off. Who's throwing his controller around. And getting in your face and throwing spit all over the place because he beat you.
Okay.
They're probably the ultimate dude bros. I hope that email started with, "Dear dude bro, we delayed our map pack, dude. Bro, that's sweet. Dude." Next.
Okay, the last story I have. Sony has confirmed that Dead Space Extraction, which is being included as a bonus in the Dead Space 2 Collector's Edition on PSN, or PS3, will be released on PSN as well. So you'll be able to play HD Extraction with your Move controller, which could be good.
That's very nice.
Oh, I feel like that was an overlooked game.
I bet Chris will like that. Chris is dying for Move games.
That's true.
There's not any out.
Yeah. He loves his Move, but he just has nothing else to play on it.
Right. He does like it a lot. He really likes Sports Champions.
I heard that bocce ball is excellent.
Echo Crime 2 is quite good as well.
Mm. I keep telling him to get that, but I don't think he has. I keep thinking he keeps forgetting. All right, next.
Yeah. That's it.
Oh. Well then, that was short. No, well, it wasn't. All right. Here is either or. All right, guys, we're going to give you two options. You pick one or the other. There's 10 to start with. At the end, we got the lightning round. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Ready. Starting with AJ, as usual. AJ, 3DS. Too expensive or fairly priced?
I say fair. Like I said, it's on par with what the PSP launched at. It's comparable to an iPod Touch, and the PSP 2 will probably either be right there or more expensive. I mean, when you compare it to console pricing, it seems high, but you have to keep in mind, too, especially when you look at 360, which is under that. I mean, it came out 5 years ago. So, it's fine. I think people are going to buy it, believe me. They are going to buy it. And it could have been worse. They could have done 300 and gotten away with it, so I'll take 250.
Pete?
In terms of everyone's pockets, too expensive, especially in Europe. In terms of business, in terms of how much people charge for electronics over here anyway, I think they probably see it as a fair price. But yeah, I mean, everything is too expensive in Europe, so I'm going to fall down on that side, I think.
I will say, you see a lot of people kind of complain, like, oh, that's how much the Wii cost when it came out, you know, kind of comparing it, like the notion that portable systems should inherently be cheaper than the home console ones. I kind of think that idea is just sort of old hat.
I mean, I don't have a problem with its price relative to other systems, but it's just the fact that we're paying significantly more than the rest of the world for it is stupid.
See, I got to give points to both of you here, because for Pete it is too expensive. AJ's right, though, probably fairly priced here. Mm-hmm. All right.
All right.
Pete, Final Fantasy 13-2, a necessary sequel or not?
Not. Granted, I haven't finished 13 yet, but I really enjoyed 10-2. I thought it was an interesting twist on 10's world, because it had its own distinct feel to it, and I'd like to see them do something similar with 13, because, I mean, for all its straight lines that it got accused of, I thought it was quite an interesting world. It had some cool characters in it. So, yeah, I'd like to see more of it. I'd like to spend some more time there and maybe see some different gameplay styles in it.
AJ.
Yeah, I'm good with it. I mean, I like the battle system in 13. Just after playing through 10 hours of the tutorial and finding out that there was 20 hours more tutorial, I kind of just didn't have any interest in doing that. So it'd be nice if it's a game that uses and modifies that combat system while also, you know, streamlining the game itself and kind of taking the feedback. I'd be fine with that.
Point to Pete. AJ, I'm so sick of that 30-hour tutorial thing. Not true.
Everybody says that.
Yeah, everyone says that. Everyone's wrong.
Okay.
AJ, portable gaming or home gaming?
Still home gaming. I mean, my portable gaming has become the kind of iPhone bite-sized gaming habit of just killing time. I still rather, for the bulk of my game time, be able to sit down on my couch or at my computer and dig into an experience. And it seems like, I mean, even with the 3DS, you look at games like Zelda, it's still kind of that console-based experience in your hand, which is good, and it'll have its place, but I'm still going to rather, you know, sit down with my nice TV and my surround sound system and, you know, crank that shit up.
Here's another real quick one. Same point here, but if you could only have one, would you have your DS or your Wii?
My DS.
All right, Pete.
Yeah, home gaming for me too. I mean, a lot of the games I play are story-heavy games, and most story-heavy games are trying very hard to be movies these days. And that kind of movie-like experience just doesn't work as well on a small screen for me personally. I know some people don't have a problem with it, but if I'm watching something that's supposed to be spectacular, yeah, I want to be sitting on my couch watching it on a big screen with surround sound, basically. Same as AJ. I mean, there's a place for portable gaming for me, but it tends to be quick hit stuff or when I'm having a shit, frankly. So, you know. Home gaming, definitely.
Pete gets the point for that wonderful image he put in my head of him on a toilet.
Yep.
Pete, more anticipated 3DS game, Kid Icarus or Ocarina of Time 3D?
I think Kid Icarus for me, just because it's new. I mean, I've played Ocarina of Time several times now, on several different systems for that matter, so, I mean, I like it, it's a good game, but I'd like to see something new.
AJ?
I'm leaning towards Ocarina of Time. From what I've seen of Kid Icarus, it looks like a large chunk of it's like a third-person shooter almost, where you're doing that thing where you're using the touch screen as a second analog stick, and I really feel like it's been proven that doesn't work, so, I mean, having not played it or seen too much of it, I'm not sure. But I know Ocarina of Time is a great game. I like the improvements they're bringing. You get an extra button for an item. You know, they've actually upgraded the graphics, and they say it looks great in 3D. So I'm tentatively more excited for that.
Point to Pete.
Yay.
God damn it.
AJ, blue or black 3DS?
Well, I pre-ordered a blue one, so I guess that's your answer.
Pete, blue or black 3DS?
Black. Black's the man's color.
Ooh. Dang it. I gotta give the point to Pete again.
God damn it.
AJ, you're on not a roll here.
No.
Pete. He brings up a good point, though, AJ. It's the color for men.
White blue. It's a svelte blue with an SV. Yeah, I mean, how many other words have that bluish consonant combination? No, it's not.
You know what was stealth an awesome
blue
color?
Stealth blue just sounds like it's trying too hard.
It's not
like
stealth.
You don't need any subtitles on black. You just have black, and it's cool and manly. Whereas blue, you've got to put the word stealth in front of it to make it manly.
No, not stealth. Svelte.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Svelte?
That's what's not that? Manly. It's not even a word. It's even worse.
Yes, it is.
AJ, stop right now before I give 2 points to Pete.
Fine.
You know what was a great color, by the way? That glacier blue for, like, the Game Boy Pocket.
Yeah, you guys got me that one. It was ice blue, I think they called it.
That's right.
Yeah, you guys got me that for my birthday. I love that thing.
Probably your, like, 12th birthday, but yeah. All right.
Yeah.
PS3 hacker being sued by Sony. Fair or not fair? Pete.
Tricky one. I'm fairly against the whole hacking thing, so, yeah, I think fair, personally. I mean, I know hacking has benefits and stuff like that for sort of people getting a bit more creative, but for the potential damage it can do, and some people sort of talking about it potentially sort of accelerating this console cycle from things like piracy and stuff like that, yeah, I think Sony have got more than a leg to stand on there.
AJ, fair or not fair?
Actually, restate the question. What's fair?
Is the PS3 hacker being sued by Sony fair or not fair?
Okay. Yeah, fair. I mean, I like the kind of utopian, idealized version of it where it's like, oh, no, it's not for piracy. We just want to open it up to homebrew and,
yeah,
and stuff.
Bullshit.
Like, yeah, it'd be nice, but yeah, it's bullshit. I mean, when you hear about things like this Modern Warfare 2 thing where the game is now basically ruined, I mean, that's not good for anybody. You can't let that go on. It's a messy legal situation because you have a company in Japan suing some random guy who lives in, like, Wyoming or something, and, like, how does that work out? It's going to actually have a lot of implications for this kind of thing going forward, especially in light of the fact that they said jailbreaking on the iPhone is legal. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of precedent it creates, but I feel like Sony has to do it. They have to do something. They can't just let it go unchecked. And they have to kind of put that fear in other people who might think of trying additional workarounds.
Point, Edge Guy.
Yay.
Pete, I don't like your lack of competitive spirit here.
I'm being a good loser. I'm being a good loser. It's being a good sportsman, you know.
You're winning.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a good loser. AJ, Nintendogs or Nintendcats?
Nintendogs. They actually said you have to work harder to gain the affection of a cat. You know why? Because cats are jerks. Huge jerks. At least I won't be allergic to a Nintendcat. That's the only thing I could say. But come on. Seriously, have you ever actually tried to play with a cat and, like, call it by name and get it to fetch something? No. What's the game going to be? You futilely shouting at the screen while the cat's licking itself? I'll take the dog, thank you.
Feed.
Now, I'm more of a cat person than a dog person, but I've got to go Nintendogs just because Nintendcats is a ridiculous name.
Yeah, it doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't even work. It's stupid.
That was funny, Pete. I still got to give the point to Edge Guy.
Yay.
Pete, Dead Space 2, buying or not buying?
Not buying. I didn't play the first one. I mean, I intend to get to the first one at some point, but I'm certainly not buying Dead Space 2 on release. And I tell you what, the ridiculous marketing campaign they've done has actually put me off buying it. I was thinking about it before, but just the marketing campaign just makes me think, no, I don't really want anything to do with that.
AJ.
I'm not buying it right away, only because I can't justify it when I like look and see. I haven't even touched Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, but it's definitely on my very near future list. Especially taking your word for it, like of how good it's going to be. You very rarely get that excited about a game, so that's usually a pretty good barometer for me. Yeah. Although I do agree, that advertising campaign with the horrified mothers is idiotic.
It gets the point for appealing to my ego.
Fair enough. That's normally the way to win, isn't it?
I have to start digging out the dirty tricks here.
Yeah, I noticed. You guys are tied now. Isn't that exciting?
See?
Two more to go, and then the lightning round. How about that? All right. Marvel vs. Capcom 3, buying or not buying? Edge Guy.
I'm going to buy it. I mean, it's Marvel vs. Capcom 3, but God, I'm worried about it. Just hearing some of the previews about the drastically imbalanced mechanics in the game, the lack of some obvious characters that should have been there, with the inclusion of some characters that leave me scratching my head still. I guess I'm going to buy it, but I'm nervous.
Pete.
I'm in a similar kind of situation. I mean, I really like Marvel vs. Capcom, but I'm not the biggest fan of beat-em-ups, so I don't know. And I mean, the omission of Phoenix Wright is enough to make me want to swear at it a lot. But I will probably buy it eventually, but not immediately.
Same points, same amount of points. One for each of you.
Okay.
Pete, new yes. Rock Band this year or no new Rock Band this year?
As in, is there one coming out or?
Yeah, one won't come out this year.
No, I don't think so. I think sales of Rock Band 3 and the peripherals and so on are slowing down. I mean, they're still selling the tracks and the DLC and stuff, but I'm not sure they can justify a new game unless... I mean, are you counting like the sort of artist-specific games here, or...?
Yeah, no, it does count.
Yeah. No, I think no. I think they're going to stick with Rock Band 3 for a while, see how that does, and then make a decision on what to do next.
AJ.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, even if Rock Band 3 had done better, I mean, they didn't come to 3 right away after 2. They have that tendency, like, historically, to let the game stay out there for a bit and serve as a platform. But, yeah, I mean, it's becoming more and more apparent, even I have to admit. Like, the musical instrument genre is dying. Dance is what seems to be taking it over kind of right now. And there's no reason to rush into another one. Because, honestly, too, like, what else would you put into a Rock Band for? We already got one new instrument. I don't see what other instrument you'd add. I don't see what other big feature you'd add that couldn't be done in a patch. So I see no reason for a new Rock Band in 2011.
Mm. What about a band-specific one?
That, I mean, Beatles was one thing, and then, like, it went from Beatles to Green Day, which I thought was the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
And I can't think of many other bands that would justify something like standalone-ish like that. I don't think Green Day did particularly well either, so still nothing. Mm.
Point, Edge Guy. All right, Edge Guy's up by one. Woohoo! Going into the lightning round. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Both know how this works, but remember.
Yeah, speed counts.
Speed counts. I'm not going to stop. We got 5 to go through. All right, ready?
Yes.
As soon as I start. Cookies or cream?
Cookies.
Cookies.
Ginger ale or ginger snaps?
Ginger snaps.
Snaps.
Green Hornet or Green Lantern?
Green Lantern.
Donkey or Diddy Kong?
Donkey Kong.
Why is AJ always faster? Burger King or Arby's?
Arby's.
Yeah. AJ wins.
Not even worth trying anymore.
Why are you always faster, AJ? I don't understand.
I just am.
Why are you so good at this?
Shooting them out.
Why have you mastered the lightning round? There's a flawless victory. He had no chance.
That's something you can be proud of. You've mastered the lightning
yes.
round.
I've got that going for me.
Yeah, I got that going for me. Oh, God. All right. Our week in gaming.
Okay.
I played a couple things.
Yeah, let's hear what you got.
Well, I got Little Big Planet 2.
Let's hear it.
It's a lot like Little Big Planet.
What do you know?
You know, it's a little fancier. It's got, so far, like, just the things I've noticed different, really, are a lot of the AI stuff. Like, this guy follows me. There seems to actually be kind of a story in the story mode, which is
I've heard the single player was kind of beefed up.
Yeah, it seems like it. I mean, you know, there's, like, a slight story. There's cutscenes, which is interesting. Really, the cool thing so far has been the grappling hook and just kind of the way that opens up new things. Like, the most fun thing to do is to get on the grappling hook, then, like, hit, like, some of the bumpers, you know, that, like, throw you all around while you're on a grappling hook and you kind of swing around over the place. That stuff's been really neat. But, yeah, so far, you know, it's very Little Big Planet-y, but it seems like a lot of fun.
Have you done any creation, or are you just playing?
You know, I try to do a little bit, but as I oft do, I kind of got bored of it real quickly and said, I'll wait for someone else to make something cool.
You know what I think I found is kind of one of the fundamental problems with the original Little Big Planet and, to an extent, Minecraft. Most of the really interesting stuff people make, they're nothing I feel compelled to play. It's enough for me to just watch a YouTube video of it and be like, oh, that looks neat, and like I'm satisfied.
Right, like that someone made like, Still Alive in Minecraft. Like, I don't actually need to go to that level.
Like, no one that I've seen has really made a Little Big Planet level that I saw put up online somewhere. I was like, I need to play that.
I think Little Big Planet 2 is going to be a bit different because they can put different game styles in it and so on. So.
Yeah, see, I haven't seen that much of that yet in the single player, which I'm kind of really looking forward to, how that stuff will work.
I'll bring my PS3 controller home with me this weekend. We'll try some multiplayer.
A cool thing was I got, like, the collector's edition, and it came with some extra costumes, including Clue from Tron Legacy. So that's
nice.
And Gonzo, the Muppet.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, so I can just play through it as Gonzo. I like to pretend it's a game about Gonzo. Maybe this really high-profile 2D side-scorer. About Gonzo the Great. And his crazy adventures. It's not that much of a stretch, really. Kind of fits. All right. So besides that, I got the new Kingdom Hearts kind of out of an obligation.
Yeah. See, Mike, you know why they keep making these? Because you keep buying them.
But listen. I had very low expectations for this one because it's like an upgraded port of an episodic cell phone game in Japan like four years ago.
This is recoded, yeah?
Yeah, Recoded is called. Yeah. It's actually really good, though. Like, a lot of it plays just like a Kingdom Hearts game. It actually looks and plays better than the last one, the, you know, 358 days over 2 days or whatever.
It's another stupid name.
Yeah, but the cool thing about it is each world kind of has a different thing going on. And like the best example was when I went to Hercules World, it was like it turned into like a turn-based RPG that was very, Paper Mario-y, and that it was all about like the time button presses to attack and defend. And like went through that. The whole world. It was really neat.
Does Recoded have voice acting?
It does actually.
Oh, cool.
It's actually been the most I've heard of the new Mickey because between each world, like Mickey and Donald and Goofy are kind of doing a voice acting cutscene.
Cool.
So it's actually been surprisingly very good. It's actually like I said, it's actually a lot better than the last one.
Okay, so I've got $30 in Best Buy money. Should I consider it?
Yeah, I think it has a lot of Mickey, Donald, Goofy. Like the whole conceit of the game is that...
Yeah, I like that.
The whole conceit of the game is that, like, oh, Jiminy's journal has been erased, and now, like, they have to digitally recreate some of the events of Kingdom Hearts 1 to get the memory back or something. It actually ties into...
They've used every possible explanation as to why we need to retell
that
story.
I'm aware, trust me.
Because you've played every one of them.
Yes. It does tie neatly into the secret ending. See, what this... I don't... I... never mind.
ties neatly into the secret ending
of Birth by Sleep.
Of one of the other obscure Kingdom
Hearts
games that you didn't play.
I know. I sound ridiculous.
The secret ending of the game no one played. Yes. Nice.
Right,
yes,
you. Yes. I mean, that's about it for me.
Okay.
No. I played Donkey Kong Country Returns with Chris.
Oh, yeah. How is it?
It was really fun. It was really good.
Yeah, that's what you were saying. You said the co-op was a blast.
It was a lot of fun. I was Diddy Kong. It was neat because, like, you can jump on Donkey Kong's back for, like, some of the harder platforming segments where it just wasn't worth it to have both of us out there potentially dying.
While
I'm on his back, I can still shoot my peanut gun and stuff. It was really cool. It was a lot of fun.
Cool.
All right. Go ahead.
If he shoots you, is it going to hurt?
Yes. Because it's good. DK. Donkey Kong. DK. Donkey Kong is here.
Awesome. Let's see. I played Warcraft.
Yeah. Don't we all?
Yes. Actually, I did play one new game this week. It's a quickie. It's called Photonica, I believe is how you pronounce it. Photonica. It's on Kongregate. What it is, imagine if you combined Cannibalt, Mirror's Edge, and Rez.
Oh, I saw a picture of this. I haven't tried it yet, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's a first-person perspective, wireframe, kind of vector-looking graphics, where you're just using one button to jump as you're running across, like, this strip of platforms. As you're holding down a button on your keyboard, you're accelerating, you release the button to jump, and you need to hold it back down again to keep accelerating. Then once you hit, like, a certain speed threshold, everything gets all glowy, and the sound gets all cool. I mean, it's a simple game, but I would not be surprised if 2 months from now this is, like, the iPad game everybody's talking about, because I could totally see it working there. But yeah, it's really good. It's on Kongregate for free, so check it out.
Neat.
And, that's really it. So, Pete,
right.
I want to hear about DC Universe Online.
All right, then you can hear about DC Universe Online, because besides Final Fantasy XII, that's all I've been playing, really.
Good.
Yeah. So, I've got the PS3 version. Which seems to be the best-selling version from what I've heard. Certainly, in the UK, the PS3 version's been in the top 10, which is pretty much unheard of for a game that doesn't have Warcraft in the title.
Answer this for me, because I just heard this today, and I didn't even know this. The two versions, PS3 and PC, are not the same servers.
No, that's right. They're not cross-platform play. Apparently, they experimented with it in beta, and it didn't work very well, so they decided not to.
Like, what didn't work?
I don't know, but for whatever reason, they decided not to. I mean, I don't think it's going to be that huge of an issue because, as I say, most people I know who have been considering it or buying it have been getting the PS3 version anyway. So,
Chris got the PS3 version.
Right.
Yeah, which I think is a pretty big deal because it's... I mean, we've had previous MMOs on consoles with Final Fantasy XI and so on, but they've never been a particularly big hit. Mm. I think this has potential to do really, really well.
Yeah, well, I listened to Giant Bomb today just rip this game apart, so let me hear your take on it and see how it compares.
Yeah. Okay, well, basically, it does a lot of things different from typical MMOs. So, combat is the main thing. Combat is all twitch-based, it's all action-based, so you press a button to attack, and you attack. So, there's no sort of auto-attack and then sit flailing at each other until one of you falls over and using skills with cooldowns and so on. There are skills that have cooldowns in it, but most of the combat is combo-based, and blocking and dodging and position is important. You can dodge projectiles, for example, which is something you can't do in a lot of MMOs. So the combat feels really satisfying. There's a good combo system. You unlock new moves and combinations of attacks as you go through. When you create your character, you have a good choice of different weapons and stuff to choose from that all play very differently. So I've tried playing as a character with twin pistols so far and a character with a one-handed melee weapon, and the two of them do play significantly different from each other, despite the fact that they've only got two attack buttons each. Most weapons have sort of a short-range attack and a ranged attack, and then combinations of those and holding them down and so on will do different moves, some of which will have special effects like knocking them back and so on. So, I mean, it is a bit button mashy, but it's fun button mashing. It feels like a sort of old school brawler at times. It also means that you'll get surrounded by a lot of enemies and have to take on a lot of things at once instead of fighting just one thing at a time. If you do the group missions that you can do from about level 10 onwards as well, then things get really hectic. There's some good battles in there and things. The thing that struck me is it puts you straight into interesting content straight away. There's no pissing about killing rats for 40 levels or anything like that. You're straight into story arcs that put you up against iconic DC villains or heroes, depending on which side you're playing as. So you're straight into interesting stuff. By the time you hit level 5 or 6, you've already had your first boss fight, for example, which is really cool. And they're good boss fights as well. It's not just sort of damage sponge enemies. There's sort of environmental effects that they do. They'll throw things at you. They'll sort of give proper villain speeches in the middle of them and that sort of thing. And you find yourself fighting alongside other iconic DC characters as well, which is pretty neat. It's a good game. It's a good, fun game. It feels like an action RPG. The things that are not so good about it, I guess, are the sort of social aspect of it.
That's what I was going to ask, yeah.
Yeah, like the typing on the PS3 version, you can use a USB keyboard with it, but starting to type on the USB keyboard brings up the software keyboard on screen.
You can't turn that off?
No. Apparently it's a priority for one thing they're working on. But, I mean, surely that's not that hard to fix, though. But yeah, if you are typing even on a USB keyboard, it still brings up this full screen software keyboard, blotting your view out of everything, which is a bit of a pain. But I mean, you can live with that, because if you're fighting an MMO, you're probably not going to be typing anyway. So, but the things like the friends list and stuff, it's not very intuitive. It's quite difficult to know where to go to find your friends list, for one thing.
Yeah, that's what I heard. It's like a lot of the menu navigation seems like you should really have a mouse
The menu interface is fine.
But
yeah, the menu's a bit clunky, and it takes a while to load the menu and stuff as well. I mean, it works, and you kind of adjust to it and get used to it, but I mean, you kind of think that so much of the rest of the game has been obviously optimized for console, like the combat and the movement and so on, is so obviously optimized for use with a controller. I can't imagine what playing it with a mouse and keyboard would be like. But it just seems weird that they haven't done that for the interface as well. So, I mean, that's the only real criticism I can level against it at the moment. It's a really, really fun game. It's a lot of fun to play. It's a lot of fun to create characters. There's a lot to do. There's a lot of solo content if you like doing that. Group content doesn't really come in until about level 10 or so, but once you do, there's a lot of stuff. There's loads of PvP stuff. There's
level 10 is when you kind of get your specialization.
That's right. Yeah, you get your group role at that point, so you can switch between stances. So you can either be anyone can be a damage dealer, but then there's three separate roles. There's tank, controller, and healer as well that you can switch into at any point as well, and that changes.
What's controller do?
Debuffs and stuff like that.
Yeah, they sort of do debuffs and crowd control and that sort of thing. So, but yeah, the interesting thing is the fact you can switch those at any time. So if you want to kick a bit of ass, then you can just switch yourself into damage role and kick ass. But if you'd rather be more of a support role and stand back a bit, then you just switch yourself into your support role and deal with it that way. So it's quite an interesting approach. I haven't played enough group content to see it really working yet, but I understand that it becomes really necessary to manage that well later on. Once you hit
what level are you right now?
Say again?
What level are you?
I'm
right
level
now?
12 right now.
How long did it take you to get there?
Not that long, actually. I mean, by the time you finish the tutorial, you're level 3. Getting to level 6 in my first boss fight, that was maybe a couple of hours. It's
because I was kind of taken aback to hear that the level cap is 30.
Yeah, level cap's only 30. Apparently, there is quite a lot to do at level 30, though. So, and I don't know if what they're planning on doing with extensions and so on, but
it just depends on how much end game content there is.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, there's what there is at the end, from what I can see. There's raid content. There's sort of harder versions of dungeons and things that you can go back to. There's a special duo mode as well, where you and one other player have to do quests on a particularly hard mode and that sort of thing. And there's all the PvP stuff as well, which should keep people busy. So
here's my: is there like an equivalent of gear or like loot, basically?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, everything drops stuff. And the cool thing about the loot system in this is when you collect a piece of gear, you collect that style as well. So what you can do is if you collect a piece of gear and it affects the appearance of your character in a way that you don't want it to, like say you buy a new cloak and your character had a sort of iconic thing on its back and equipping this new cloak made him look all wrong. There's a separate style menu where you can say, well, okay, I want to equip this cloak, but I want it to look like the old one. So you can lock things as well. So you can lock the appearance of certain aspects of your character. Mm-hmm. So that's quite a nice idea, I think. But yeah, there's plenty of loot to find. There's sort of vendor trash you can get and sell. There's equipment. There's no crafting or anything in it, so it's pretty much equipment and loot. But yeah, there's plenty of stuff to find. Oh, one other thing as well. There's a sort of a kind of crackdown aspect to it as well, where there's these hidden orbs all over the place that relate to the quests you're doing. So there's certain ones that sort of have hidden things about DC lore. So you'll be sort of flying around Gotham City or whatever, and you can find stuff about Batman's history and so on. And then while you're doing an individual quest, there's investigation orbs to find as well that kind of flesh out the story of each quest a bit more as well. They're all optional to find, but you can get some neat rewards from finding them. It's just a nice additional little thing that's in there besides just punching people in the face repeatedly. Hmm. So yeah, it's good fun. I mean, I'll be interested to see how much it holds its appeal once you get to level 30 or whatever, but certainly it's a lot of fun at the minute, and the fact that all different types of characters that you play do seem to play significantly different from each other. That's encouraging. And the sales figures of it so far have been very encouraging as well. I mean, in Europe, traditionally with sort of MMOs that aren't Warcraft, they maybe have one or two servers, maybe a PvE and a PvP server. The day after it released in Europe here, they had to add two more servers because of the amount of people playing. So that's a good sign.
Yeah, I gotta go over Chris's and try it sometime.
Yeah, give it a go. It's good fun.
All right. So, real quickly, what have you been thinking of Final Fantasy 12? Did you like just jump ahead to 12? Are you still really doing your marathon or?
No, I mean, I have played 1, 2, and 3 before. I decided I really couldn't face playing 3 again in particular.
Right. Yeah. I
yeah. I mean, 3 was all right, but I did grind the shit out of it to beat that ridiculous secret boss, and I really didn't want to do that again. So yeah, I did jump straight to 12 because it's been on my pile of shame for ages. I really, really like it, and I like how it's different from previous Final Fantasies. It feels like a completely different type of game, and that's a really good thing. So it's got recognizable Final Fantasy stuff in it, but it's also got a lot of Western gameplay about it as well. Mm-hmm. The combat system's really good. I played about 10-15 hours of it before when it first came out, and dropped it in favour of something else that came out around the same time. But now I've really got into it. Using gambits and stuff is a really interesting thing. Mm-hmm. I wrote a blog post about it a few days ago. I compared sort of setting up your gambits and stuff to like when you're doing a raid in WoW or something like that, and you have that huddle before you get to the boss, and you think, okay, right, you're going to do this, and you explain to everyone what you're going to do. Using gambits is just that, basically. But you've got complete control over it, and they're always going to do what you told them to, rather than running off doing a Leroy Jenkins. So,
I can remember like one of the early boss fights in Final Fantasy XII. Like, I was amazed actually at how much on the fly adjustment I had to do for the boss.
Yeah,
and it was almost more involved than like the menu based Final Fantasies before it.
Yeah,
so it was nice. Like, I mean, the simple fights where you're just hitting fight anyway. Just went by, and I still did my thing, and then, like, the actual fights that mattered required as much, if not more, strategy than before.
Yeah, exactly, and the whole keeping fights in the field thing means that level grinding doesn't feel anywhere near as grindy as in previous Final Fantasy and so on, because
it's just streamlined. Yeah, every fight isn't a zoom-in, blur-effect thing, and then the characters all getting into their ready positions, and
it's just you walk through, you see something you want to kill, you just smack it with a sword and until it falls over. So, yeah, it's part of the journey rather than an interruption to your journey, I guess. So,
right, that's a good way of putting it. I like that.
Yeah, but it's good. It's got a lot of... it's actually got a lot of Final Fantasy XI about it, to be honest, but without any of the shitty bits. But yeah, the whole thing does feel very much like a single-player MMO sometimes, what with the sort of quest structure and the very open nature of it and the fact that you clearly shouldn't go here before you've leveled up a bit and that kind of thing. I even quite like the license grid system. I mean, I thought I'd hate it because I thought it seemed really weird and confusing and so on, but until I kind of figured out that what you're basically doing is you're planning out your character build in advance for when you do get access to those skills, so... You're kind of planning what role this character is going to take later. And once I kind of got my head around that, I thought it was... Yeah, it's a really interesting system, I think.
Yeah, a lot of the time you're grinding more for those license points than for experience.
Yeah.
Well, good then. All right, let's get to the releases and wrap this thing up. Here's what we had come out this week. We had Mass Effect 2 and the PS3.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Charming both in the stunt, yes, Little Big Planet 2 and the PS3. Mind Jack for the PS3 and 360. You guys know anything about this?
I don't know much. I've heard positive buzz about it, though.
I think Square has something to do there. King Arthur, the Druids for the PC sounds awesome. Plants vs. Zombies for the DS. See, now, I wonder how much that cost. Probably
more
bucks.
Than a dozen iPhones.
Yeah, probably more. And that looks to be pretty much about it. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find more of the Exploding Barrel podcast on explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. You can also find us on the iTunes Music Store and the Zune Marketplace. Thanks for joining us, Pete. It was a pleasure, as always.
Absolute pleasure.
Well, thanks again, everybody, and we'll see you next time right here on the Exploding Barrel podcast.
Bye.
Bye.